Blog Talk Radio.
When it comes to love, I do most anything. 'Cause if you have it in your heart, you know you're a rich man. There's just not enough to go around the world today. And if we have a little more, you know it'd be a better place. I can only go by what's happened to me, and now when it comes to love, you're gonna cry a little, hurt a little, feel a little pain in your heart, laugh a little, care a lot, take a look at what you got, 'cause you're only human. We make mistakes, we're gonna live to see another day, baby.
Welcome everyone to Relationships Rant or Rave. I get into that song because the words are really beautiful. Well, welcome to Relationships Rant and Rave 2016. Where are relationships today? Do we communicate more or less? Are we so busy we don't have me time anymore? And not merely your relationship with other people, but your relationship with everything, everywhere. Your relationship with life and all the elements of life. Your relationship with money, love, sex, and God, the four cornerstones of the human experience. Your relationship with trees, plants, animals, birds, wind, air, sky, sea. Your relationship with nature and your relationships with God. Your relationship with everything determines who and what we are. Every act is an act of self-definition. Call in and share your opinions or questions or experience. It just could be the answer someone is looking for. That phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. The chat room is not open today, so you'll have to call in to speak with me and Tina. Now let me bring Tina on, my co-host. Good afternoon, Miss Tina.
Good day, beautiful. Today is the best day ever. Good Friday was yesterday. We are blessed. Welcome, everyone.
All right. We sure that's right. Yesterday was Good Friday. And y'all know tomorrow is Easter. Okay. Well, what we're discussing today is about the four kinds of love. And, Tina, I do want to tell you some good news. Quite a few people went in and listened to our show last week.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because I kind of bumped it up last week, pumped it up, I should say, about for people to go in there and understand about sex. So that was good. So just a validation for you and a kudos. It was a good job. So anyway, now this week we were talking about the four different loves. One is Eros, Filial. Eros, Filial, Agape love, which I know most people know that one, and Storge. So anyway, we're going to discuss the four loves and how it relates to us. Eros. And it's E-R-O-S for anybody who wants to write that down, which you might, to know the four loves. So the first one is Eros, a love felt particularly within the body, trembling, excitement, elation, and joy, colored and unpinned by deep and beautiful procreation urges. Eros from natural sexual urges and lust, because Eros is a state of the heart. And while it is intimately related to sex, sex can exist and often does exist without Eros enlivening it. It leads to children, family, joy, and laughter. It is good and right, but is usually not enough to sustain a relationship long term. Eros is an exuded. And beautifully, idealistic love, usually between a man and a woman, but can also be platonic and extend to deeply intimate relationships. Socrates defined Eros as also working with the soul to recall knowledge of beauty, and in that capacity contributes to an understanding of spiritual truth. While Eros can simply be an earthy thing, when spirit refuses and elevate to its true position, it speaks deeply of universal mysteries, and it usually is most keenly expressed within the most sacred of all relationships, that between a husband and a wife. Eros suggests that even sensually based love aspires to the non-corporal spiritual plane of existence, that is, finding its truth. Like finding any truth leads to transcendence. The elevated buzz of erotic love is said to naturally fade within a year of its beginning. Perhaps it is too exhausting and all-consuming. Perhaps we just get lazy. I don't necessarily think it has to fade at all. And part of the purpose is to record my thoughts and experience on Eros, how we can nurture and maintain this beautiful love in our lives. Okay, Tina, let's talk about the physical aspects of love, which is okay. Eros. Well, she said, yeah, you don't have anything to say about Eros love? I guess we all understand that one, though, huh? It's,
I think,
essentially
it was
based love.
You said it was with the soul. I needed you to repeat that part again. That was good. You said the Eros love does what with the soul?
Eros is a state of the heart, and while it is intimately related to sex, sex can exist and often does exist without Eros even enlivening it. I'm looking for that. Feelings for the most sacred of all relationships. Eros can simply be an earthy thing when spirit infused and elevated to its true position. It speaks deeply of universal mysteries, and is usually most keenly expressed when the most sacred of all relationships, that between a husband and wife. Okay, Eros suggests that even sensually based love aspires to the non-corporal spiritual plane of existence, that is, finding its truth, just like finding any truth leads to transcendence. Okay, so I guess for Eros love, you need to understand your body spiritually, mentally, and physically. But it's more on the physical, but still we need to understand that the spiritual side of that physical love as well as the mental side. Yes, that is That is interesting. Okay. Filial, number two, and it's spelled P-H-I-L-E-O. That's P-H-I-L-E-O. If Eros is the love of the body, filial is the love of the soul. It is easy love and affection. It is bent towards our natural tastes and preferences. It embodies culture and beliefs. It's about the friendship you feel towards people like you with the same interests, social graces, and style. In the scriptures, this kind of friendship love is used to describe many relationships. God is said to have this kind of love for us and Jesus. Jesus felt this kind of love for his disciples, parents, felt it about their children and children to their parents. It is not then a shallow love, but rich in emotion and feelings. Even when your heart beams towards your child when they do something wonderful. However, it is also described as a negative shallow love, natural and exclusive and conditional. Filial is soul love, and its strength and value will depend on the elevation of the soul of the bearer. So you and I, we talk all the time about that.
Yeah.
Right? About filial, as far as like we're praying and looking at situations with that kind of soul love. You know, just like you were speaking about your friend to help the guy that she was interested in, but the soul part of her love would have, should have come forward. Yeah. So filial is the strength and value we depend on to elevate the soul. Mm. Okay, the third one is agape. Mm-hmm. It's more of a parental, mature, sacrificial kind of love. The Thayer lexicon describes agape beautifully when it says, to take pleasure in the thing, prize it above all other things, be unwilling to abandon it or do without it. In a way, it is an idealistic as Eros, in that it is a crazy love that will not let go. Agape love usually at cost to the bearer. Agape puts the love beloved first and sacrifices pride, self-interest, and possessions for the sake of that beloved. This is the love that God has for us, which inspired him to sacrifice his son and for his son to obey and sacrifice himself. It is the kind of love we are commanded to have for one another. It is a love of supreme greatness. Now, I want to stop here a little bit on agape love, because agape love to me is the most powerful. I always say love is the most powerful energy throughout the universe, I do believe. Agape love is that love. I believe it was you, Tina, I was talking to the other day about my grandmother. No? Anyway, I'll just put it like this. My grandmother had this agape love when there was a drugstore not too far from where she lived. At this drugstore, all around that area was a heroin. I don't know what you call heroin addicts, cocaine addicts, but they stood around that particular area by the drugstore. So my grandmother take her little cane and she'd walk up there, get whatever she needed out the drugstore, and come on back home. The people never bothered her. Why? Because my grandmother said the only person that controls her is God. And God kept her protected at all times. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't walk up in a den of iniquity where there's a bunch of drug addicts or prostitutes, stuff like that. I wouldn't do it. But to my grandmother, she had somewhere to go. It didn't even faze her because she knew that God was with her. Now, that's agape love, to have that love so strong that no matter what you may think and come up against you, it has no power, because God has already put the shield of armor around you.
Well, she had an understanding. She had discernment. To have discernment, it goes both ways. She was able to discern them in the midst of their issues, and they were able to discern her. Just like, you know, you can read like a person's body language, it's in the spirit. They knew that she was harmless. And the truth of it all is, if anyone is in that situation, they are lacking love, because if they don't have love for themselves, that's a problem. If you love yourself, you're not going to harm yourself and put those type of things. So that it was an understanding. They had an understanding. And that's actually beautiful to hear, because a lot of people don't do that. They are there selfish, and they don't even understand the different levels. But those individuals in this day and time who do understand that, they're elevated. That's like Mother Teresa. Because remember Mother Teresa's poem when she was saying that whatever you do, people are going to do things. She said, never stop doing it, never stop being good, because in the end it was never between you and God. It was always between, it was never between you and them. It was always between you and God.
Yep. 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 That is so true. I love it. Well, and we're going to continue talking about some more stuff, too, in agape and the other loves. The last one is storge, and it's spelled S-R-G-E. I'm sorry, I didn't spell agape. Agape is A-G-A-B-E. P-E, excuse me. A-G-A-P as in Paul, E. Storge is S-T-O-R-G-E. This is the love of community and family. Often dutiful, sometimes unfeeling, but very strong nonetheless. It is natural, carnal love, but powerful enough to be a real hindrance to spiritual growth, especially when family and culture are holding you down. It is a love that may pull you towards a lesser path. Obviously, all of these loves work together, but only agape is free from the error of our humanity. Agape is the glue that holds the other loves fast and gives us the wisdom and patience with the other love when the other loves fail. Excuse me. If we make it our goal to always be forgiving, excuse me, and merciful, and believe in doing good to all men, and then do it, the other loves will stand. And your life will be full of the rich blessings of filial friendships and intimates of the sweetest and loveliest kind. You will stand up in the midst of your family and people and call back to walk on pleasanter paths and on smoother highways. So seek first the high love, agape, that sacrifices, forgives, and believes, the love of Christ freely given to those who ask and receive. Drink deeply of Christ's love for you, for the Father's love for you, and the eternal and perfect love, and all those other loves will be added unto you. So those are the four kinds of love. Now we're going to discuss it a little bit deeper here. I was telling Tina earlier, nothing inhibits your love, loving each other, more than the thought that you have something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the same reason that you have found it difficult and frightening to love God. You have been told that if you do not love God in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons, God will become angry, for he is a jealous God, you have been told. I will not accept your love in any way, shape, or form other than that which I demanded. Nothing could be further from the truth, yet the truth has never been further from our awareness. We need nothing, God needs nothing from you, and therefore seek, want, and demand nothing from you. God's love for you is without condition and without limitation. Hello. You will return to heaven whether you have loved me in the right way or not. There is no way for you not to return to heaven, because there is no place else to go. This is your internal life assured and your internal reward guaranteed. Now, do you know what it's like to be truly in love? For when you are truly in love, there is only one of you in the room. What starts out as being with another becomes an experience of being one, of being one with the self. Indeed, that is the whole purpose of sexual expression and of every form of love. So what about the other two love enders, expectation and jealousy, you're asking? Even if you manage to eliminate need from your relationship with each other and with God, you may still have to struggle with expectation. This is a state in which you have an idea that someone else in your life is to perform in a particular way, is going to show up as who you think they are, or who you think they should be. Like need, expectation is deadly. I have said this so many times. Do not have expectations. Expectation reduces freedom, and freedom is the essence of love. When you love somebody, you grant them total freedom to be who they are, for this is the greatest gift you could give them, and love always gives the greatest gift.
Well, I beg to differ.
Okay.
I beg to differ because that's what God is saying when he's saying I'm being unevenly yoked. You have to have standards and you have to have boundaries. And actually, it is those things that we have everything is with the law of attraction. So who you are at that time, if a person can't control their thoughts and really don't know what they want, then they're going to meet somebody else with the same energy. Energy doesn't lie. And in physics, energy is neither created nor destroyed. I said that your mate is your mirror. You have to have expectations because that's what you're going to get. If you expect it, that's what you're putting out to the universe, and you're going to get that back. And you have to be evenly yoked because if you love God and you get with someone else who's a nice person and, you know, you guys have a nice date and you like to shop, but then when it gets down to the quiet, when you get past the infatuation and you're home and they're quiet and they want to sit down and worship the Lord and they're like, let's go shopping, they're not really going to respect that because that's not something that you guys had in common in the beginning. It's the things that you have in common, being able to laugh, being able to enjoy each other, having a certain outlook, having a similar outlook on life is going to allow you to last a long time. So it's not having the expectations that leads to confusion and leads to people breaking apart, because actually you should fall in love with each other every day. And that takes work on both parts with forgiveness, but you have to do the mental work. Relationships take mental work, and as you just now broken down the different parts of it, some people don't understand it. Some things really aren't understood, but it's like, some things don't have to be explained, but it's understood. When you were saying what Eros was talking about on a soul level, then with agape is seeing that you love the person like God, and like God and Jesus, he was able to sacrifice. It boils down to morals and what you believe. So if you have morals and then you're with somebody else that doesn't have morals, that's going to cause a problem. So in turn, again, it does boil you down to having similar outlooks in life that makes it last. When the people don't get along, then that's when the sex, you might be having sex with somebody, but you might not like them. But it's the things that aren't sexual that allows the relationship to go on, and the woman being nurturing and understanding him and understanding what he doesn't say, and then praying together, whether you meditate, whatever your religious belief is, metaphysics, Judaism, whatever it is, you have to have a similarity because that can cause a conflict too. So your mate has to be your mirror. Your mate is your
mirror. He does, but okay, and I disagree with you because expectations, you have to have an understanding with your mate, so there you don't even have expectations. You know what this person is going to do or not do, right? This would be from the beginning, so you don't have the need or expectations.
Well, expectations should be if you're a woman and you want a man that is has fatherly instincts, that respects women, we should pay attention in the beginning. How does he treat his mother? How does he treat his children? Because those things are going to come up, and you have those signs in the beginning, so you can have expectations. If you want children, you can't get with somebody that doesn't want children, because that's going to cause a conflict later on, and you can't really play it by ear, because then they'll say, well, we never discussed this. But you see the people that...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But the people who have successful relationships, they have an understanding. Somewhere along the line, they have an understanding, and they do talk about things, and that's what allows them to make it through.
Okay. Let me read this to you. The difficulty is that most people confuse love with need. Two words and the two experiences are interchangeable. They are not. Loving someone has nothing to do with needing them.
Mm-hmm.
You can love someone and need them at the same time, but you don't love them because you need them. If you love them because you need them, you have not loved them at all. But merely what it is that you have that what it is that they have given you. Let me repeat that. If you love them because you need them, you have not loved them at all. But merely what it is that they have given you. When you love another for who they are, whether they give you what you need or not, then you truly love them. when there's nothing that you do need and you can truly and you truly can love them, remember, love is without condition, without limitations, and without need. This is how God loves us. Yet this is a love you cannot imagine receiving, because it's a love that you cannot imagine expressing, and that's the sadness of the world. Thus, if you love somebody other than the one who wishes you to love only them, then you must say openly and honestly and directly and clearly and immediately, you know, that you don't care about that person. The truth shared with everyone about everything all the time, you know, if you're with your loved one. This is done as a celebration, not an admission. The truth should be something to celebrate, not to admit. When you both love each other and you're praying for each other, right? Yeah, because we are going to be praying for each other too. Okay. Here's a good one. How can you need nothing from someone you love? By loving them not for what they can give you, but simply for who they are. And then the guy asks God, but then they could walk all over you. Loving another does not mean that you must stop loving yourself. Loving another does not mean that you must stop loving yourself. That's the answer to the question when you think people are going to walk all over you. Granted, another full freedom does not mean granting them the right to abuse you, nor does it mean sentencing you to prison of your own device, in which you live a life you would have not chosen in order that another may live the life that they do. Yet granting full freedom does not mean placing no limitations of any kind on another. You do not place limitations on them. You place limitations on yourself. You limit what you choose to experience, not what another is allowed to experience. Right? Let me get back to the love portion. God, I got all these papers I got in here. Keep talking. You can only receive another's love in the way. You can only receive another's love in the way that you give them yours. They can love you their way as long as they want. You can only receive it your way. You cannot experience what you do not allow others to experience. Okay. Sound like somebody we know? You do not have to end a relationship in order to change it. Indeed, you cannot end a relationship, but can only alter it. You always have a relationship with everyone. The question is not whether you have a relationship, but what kind of relationship do you have? Your answer to this question will affect your life forever and indeed could truly change your life. The good news is that defining who you are and who you choose to be does not have to translate into jealousy of another, nor into control over them. It simply and lovingly states who you are and how you choose life to be for you. Your love for another goes on, even as you lovingly and compassionately work through whatever differences may exist between you and however you change the nature of your relationship as a result of those differences. What else can we say about love? Should I go back to the Eros, breaking it down again?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Let me find that. I'll bring it back up.
Because God is just, love is, I really appreciate you breaking this down, because love is something that it's just understood. It's never talked about. It's shown. Love is first shown to you. well, first by God allowing us to be alive, but that has to be explained to you by your parents. But love is shown to you by your parents taking care of you, showering you, the way you see your parents interact, your family within the home, that is your first, those are your first teachers of love. And then what you see from your parents or just whatever spirit God gave you, you know, you become a teenager, you have your first love, but it's all about your perception of it, you know, and then we have a blueprint. So the blueprint in life is neither right nor wrong, but we're going to attract what we believe we deserve, or we're going to attract or communicate and love the way what we saw, you know, the way we saw it. So this is really good because some people never take time to think about it. They never take time to think about it. Like you said, they just experience the different levels of it. But, again, it's something that's not really communicated sometimes, but it's something the whole world is searching for all day long.
That's true. That's true. And most people only know about agape love. They don't even know about eros, filio, and storge.
No, you know, they don't.
And the eros, the one that's eros of the love of the body.
Yeah.
I want to say that I put something up about I look at people by their souls. So whatever their body size, it doesn't matter because their body is already beautiful because I looked and saw the soul, not the body.
Wow, that's
so I think that's something, Eros, that people should think about is touch the person's soul. Look at their soul when you're talking to them and listening to them. You know, and then as you look, because, you know, our first impressions in love is what? Physically, what we see the person. If their eyes are crossed or dotted or don't have but one eye, we're looking at you physically. But then after the physical, we should stop and look at them spiritually. What is the soul of that person? You know, are they a good person inside, or do they know who God is? Do they even care and love themselves? You know, that's another thing. We're talking about eros and love. Some people need to first learn to love themselves before they can love anybody else. And that is sexually. Because if you love your own body, then when you get with somebody else, you're going to love their body the way you want your body to be loved, right? Experience that. So you're sharing that. But if you don't love your body, which we were just talking about last week, like people making love in the dark or they don't want to try something new, or well, just that's a good one, in the dark. They were ashamed of their own body, so they don't want to make love when the light is on. But you shouldn't look at your body. Look at the soul. There's heavyset women out here that be with gorgeous men, and we could look at them and say, well, gosh, he weighs 300-some pounds. What does he see in her? Because he doesn't see her body. He sees her soul. And that's the difference. You know, she may, through time, may change, lose weight or what have you. But for that moment that they're together and they're in their relationship, he sees her soul. He doesn't see her body. Eventually, of course, he will see her body, you know, like, you know, for your health or whatever, you know, to change. But what we think, and I know that's being judgmental, what we think, but that eros love between that couple, I mean, I know a guy, he married a heavyset woman, and he's a small man, but he loves her to death. That's his life. That's his wake up in the morning, and that's his sunset. Sunrise and sunset. So, yeah. So we got to think about love ourselves first, of course, because when we love ourselves, then we can love other people. But eros is deep, loving the body, and then also loving the other person's body. So, however that we love ourselves, that's how physically. This is how we want to be loved by the next person, by the guy. And I shouldn't just say guy because I know. There's heterosexual, bisexual, transsexual. But in any type of love circumstance, I'll just say this. Look at the soul of the person and the heart. And from there, then look at the outwardly appearance. Because all this gold is not shine. And just because that person may look like a 20, when you start to talk to them, they're a minus one. So, now, filio is the love of the soul. This is so good. I'm going to turn this on because Tina is a prayer warrior, and she really loves God in every way in every way. So I'll let you speak a little bit about that, about loving the soul.
Well, loving the soul is a natural, that's a natural instinct. Loving the soul is beautiful. And again, I think that, I don't think that everyone is capable of that. You know, that's why we have some criminals and some people who do things that we just, that are just unexplainable to us. But loving the soul means that you're loving, my interpretation is that you're loving the God within that other person. Because like you said, loving that soul means that you're concerned about their well-being and you're concerned about their morals and they're making the right choices. Because even in the Bible, it says like in Proverbs, like if someone, it says that if someone, I think it's Proverbs 1, it said that, or Psalms 1, it said that if you set out to rob someone, then God gives that person the permission to lose their life. So the soul is past the physical, wanting to kiss them and hug them and cook for them. It's are you okay? Are you healthy? Like I have a tendency when I pray, I always, you know, pray for the person's red blood cells and their white blood cells and their immune system, because it's like a, you just want them to experience the best. But loving the soul is thinking about the things that people take for granted every day. It's the loving the soul is something that it only happens once somebody's like in a serious situation and nobody can help them but God. So that's what you were saying about looking at their soul and their spirit, and that's where ministers come in, and you know, those of us that are enlightened that think about meditation and you know, like the Erykah Badus and the, you know, music, Soul Child, the India Irees. It's like we see things on a deeper level. And even with music, music is soothing to the soul. So, yeah, but we all, you know, if you have seven people in the room, we're all going to have different interpretations. And that doesn't mean that someone is wrong. We all can learn and love one another. So,
that's true. Go ahead, honey. Yeah.
No, go ahead. It's true. And
I was just going to say, because, you know, what the soul, it beholds the beauty when the mind denies it. You know what I mean? We can look at people and say, oh, they're such a beautiful person or whatever. And somebody else will say, oh, well, whatever. But because the mind is denying how beautiful that soul is, it doesn't want to accept that, you know.
Well, no, I think that sometimes it can be deceptive. People can put on a front, but some people, the people who have discernment can see who they really are. So some people may be seeing who they really are. They may be seeing the spirit. Just on a lighter note, the lady in New York that used to be on Flavor of Love, her mother calls herself Sister Patterson. I forgot about the lady, but I think that the lady is trying to say like she's in the God. I'm not sure, but I know she calls herself Sister Patterson. And they have this funny video going out where she met some woman, and when they went to shake hands, she didn't shake the woman's hand. She said, oh, no, her spirit bit me. Now, she said her spirit bit me, and we were cracking up. Like, no, she didn't say her spirit bit her. But what she's basically saying is that some people aren't right. And I believe, like, even, like, with certain police officers and things like that, I think that they're trained. Like, with me, I'm kind of lighthearted. If I go in a room or if I go out with a man, I sit down, and you know they say men want to face the door or they face a certain way because they're still aware. I'm laughing and joking, and I'm caught up in the moment, whereas if someone had, like, an offensive body language, I wouldn't be able to pay attention to them because that's not really my cup of tea. But somebody else, you know, a police officer or something, would be able to see that energy in that person and see that they're not right.
So that's
all I was saying. And no, sometimes some people can see that, you know, what's not right about people. And even in relationships and things sometimes, we can get, that's how people get used and go through things sometimes, because they can get caught up in, oh, I want to love. Because when you truly love, you give. Real love is getting into a relationship to give, but it should be balanced. You know, our relationship should be reciprocity. It's not going to be perfect, but you should be giving just as much as you give. And that's where the imbalance comes in, because you have some people that are users or who don't know how to do that. That's why you have to protect yourself, because if you keep going through the same thing over and over again, and that's why people think that they're getting hurt by love. No, they're not hurt by love. They're hurt by the choices that they're allowing. They're not really thinking. You have to use more wisdom. You have to not be so quick to go over the person's house or not be so quick to be intimate with them. You have to take time to get to know that person.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
That's what comes in. But no, some people are not good people. They really aren't. They really aren't.
That's true. Yeah, and you can tell by their souls. That's true. You just pick it. Well, you know, as one soul to the next, I can understand that, lady, because, you know, haven't you been around people, Tina, where, like, I don't even feel comfortable. Something ain't right.
Yeah,
so,
something
you move yourself
right.
away from that environment. Yep.
And then you have energy vampires, and you have people that are depressed. Like, I have a very sensitive soul, and I love encouraging people. I mean, I will listen to them in a heartbeat, but the thing is that somebody said this at my church. Her name is Elder Odessa, and she said, listen, when somebody, she said, if every time you're talking to somebody, they're talking about, oh, I'm going through, she said, no, you're not going through. That's who you really are. So you have to use wisdom. Like, you have to be careful, like, and listen to people that saying that they're depressed and have negative thoughts, because energy is contagious. And you're like a cantankerous person or a contentious person. They don't really want to be heard. And you, and the Bible even says to not be friends with a man that is hot-headed. He said, because you will learn their ways. And the Bible says, do not, he says, don't be, he said, and it says, do not take on, do not help a hot-headed person, because you're going to have to help them again. So he gives you wisdom. It's true. You see somebody with an attitude, you're like, hey, wait a minute. Next thing you know, you're responding that way. So that's why I'm saying you do have to have expectations, and you do have to watch people, because we do watch them. And if we're sensitive, you got to say, wait, hold on a little bit. Let me protect myself. Because this world, if you do not protect yourself, it will chew you up and it will spit you out.
That's true. So you have to protect your soul. Yes. Your soul
you have
and
to
your
protect
spirit,
your soul.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm a teacher. I have to protect students. I have to protect, you know, some people just not right. We want them to be right, but some people just are not right.
This is so true. You can only receive God's love, y'all, and the way that you give God's yours.
Yes,
think
I used to
that.
Watch Yes, I watched Silence of the Lamb, and I was so enthralled by Silence of the Lamb, but he was so intelligent and so crazy and so calm and so nice. I said, oh, I could not work in a place with him, because he would do a number on me. Then you got to be
quite
careful, too. Remember Charles Manson?
Yeah.
He was so wicked that he talked people into killing people. He never even killed them, but he told them to do it, and they did it. Yeah, you have to really be careful. How are you not going to do it, but you told people to do it?
Well, that's
yes.
so true. Okay, and then the next one is agape. We know that's God's love. So what I just said, you can only receive God's love in the way that you give God yours.
Yeah, but just like in with the singer Ciara and the football player Russell Wilson. She when Ciara didn't know who she was, she dealt with the guy Future. He's, you know, like a rapper with the drinking and the smoking and kind of wild. And she decided, hey, you know, I'm attracted to him. We both have money. She was like, you know, she's a nice girl, so she chose to deal with him. He has children with multiple women, about four or five women.
He's got five with her. Yep.
Well, he tried to drag her through the mud with the foolishness and the, okay, here she is, has made a name for herself and been successful, and now here he comes, and now he starts messing with the different women and having a baby with the other woman and, you know, just start messing with her mentality. Thank God she was able to pull herself away from him. She said, you know what, I'm going to be abstinent. She went back. She did an introspection on herself because she knew who she was, but she, you know, slipped up as a woman. She said to the next man, listen, I'm going to be abstinent. I'm going to love God. I'm going to take my time to get to know you, because the devil is not playing, and, you know, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. She made that man, I don't know the amount of time, but she told him she was going to be abstinent, and they were abstinent together, and now she has a better relationship because she cleaned her mind. She pulled the weeds from her mind.
True.
She attracted what she was at the time, and when she didn't know who she was, you know, being young, she attracted that future. Now that she left him alone, and now there's Russell Wilson, they do things together. They've been going to charities and going to Haiti and, you know, going to hospitals and helping sick people. They are worshiping and serving people together, because service to others is the rent you pay to live on this earth. But that's what I'm saying. If you don't define who you are, then this world will define it for you. And she's proof of that. How does she go from two extremes? And now, you know, some people are making jokes saying, oh, Russell Wilson messed it up. No, it is good people that come together. And they both have been done wrong. His wife cheated on him with someone on his team. So once they knew that they had been done wrong by people, they said, look, we're going to do this right. And in turn, they were able to come together. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but they showed a higher love, an elevation. And that's what we're talking about. They showed these different levels of love within themselves.
Yep. Yep, that's true. We're getting ready to go off, and I'm so sorry because I wanted us to talk about the love of community and family, the last one in storage. But we're on our way off the air, or we're off. So anyway, we'll continue this next Saturday, y'all. Please. Oh, and by the way, let me make an announcement. There's no show tomorrow for Easter for a psychic reading show. There's no show. We're taking it. Me and Nina are going to be off with our families enjoying enjoying Easter. So, Tina, was there any last little things you wanted to say right quick?
No, all I had meant to read scriptures. We just had, you should have made it an hour. We had so much information.
I know. I thought I did.
Oh,
it was 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's continue this next Saturday.
Yes, thank you, beautiful people. We thank you for coming out. We pray that this touches your soul. We pray that you have a healthy love, you and your family. And if no one's told you that they love you today, we do. Have a great day.
Amen. And we'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place, 4 o'clock. Thank you for joining the show today, and God bless. Oh, and happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. Happy resurrection.